Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you as always. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad Chester Elton is with us too, ladies and gentlemen. I promised you he'd be here, and he is. Chester is a longtime member of our Brain Trust, one of our good friends. He is he's part of the O.C. Tanner Recognition Company. He's a lead recognition consultant there at O.C. Tanner. He and Adrian Gostick are the authors of the Carrot books. You know, the Carrot Principle, A Carrot a Day, and then I think their last one is called The Invisible Employee. Sometimes I can't keep up. They've got so many of these. But he's here to talk to us about how you and I can find that what's actually low-hanging fruit, those ways to make sure that we're getting the most out of our employees, and not only that we're getting the most out of them, but they're getting the most out of their experience and their time with us. Chester, welcome back.
Hey, always a pleasure to be with you.
It's good to have you back. Isn't that important, Chester, that, you know, we talk, I know as employees, I mean as employers, we're the guys who write the sign the paychecks, and you know, we want to get the most out of our employees, but isn't the best way to get the most out of our employees to treat them like we do our customers? You talk to people all the time about making sure that you focus on your customers. Don't we need to focus on our employees?
Well, absolutely. You know, it's always interesting to me. I was just with one of the great bottling companies on the planet. I was with Pepsi Bottling Group. And you talk about treating your customers very, very well. Service, but when they talk about their employees, they talk about their secret weapon, their competitive advantage, and it's their people. And so they've gone way out of their way to try to create what they call a culture of appreciation. And I love that expression, a culture of appreciation, where, you know, it's nothing new,
not,
right?
Not a campaign, a culture.
A culture, that's right. And they talk about sustainability. This isn't a one-shot thing where, you know, some companies will have the employee appreciation day or employee appreciation week.
Or the campaign of the month or something.
Exactly, flavor of the month. But the sustainability, and they talk about, you know, it's the golden rule, right? We want to treat people the way we want to be treated. They know that if they take care of their employees, particularly in what has become kind of an economic uncertain time, that they'll be even stronger coming out the other end when the good times start to roll again. So I'm with you. It's a culture that you need to create as an employer to attract and retain your best people.
Well, and you've got to do that. And you know, I was telling the audience earlier that the surveys, and I think you guys may have conducted some of these, the surveys recently on employee engagement breaks employees into three categories: those who are engaged, those who are somewhat engaged, and those who are not engaged. And what the point I was making was those who are not engaged, you know, they may not be redeemable. You might just have to let them go find a better way to make a living somewhere else. And I'm not saying give up on people, but, you know, the big group, I mean, the huge group, maybe two-thirds or more of all your employees, according to these surveys we've seen, three or four of them in the last year, the big swath of employees are somewhat engaged. Those are the ones you either need, you got to try to redeem, aren't they?
You move them to their strengths. You know, there's been some great work done in the strengths movement, you know, with Marcus Buckingham, where, you know, and we went through this some of the people on our team, where you say, look, they're talented, they're good people, you like them, you need to play to their strengths. Sometimes we say, well, you need to get better at this, this, and this, instead of saying, he's really good at sales, let's just let him sell. You know, she's really good at keeping inventory, let's just put her in inventory. So you find their strength and let them run. Now, to your other point, sometimes you have disengaged employees and you try everything you can. Sometimes, you know, we use the metaphor of the carrot as a reward. Sometimes the biggest carrot you can give people is their release.
Right.
You know, they're not happy, you're not happy with them, it's not going to work out, give them a chance to and make a career there.
Well, you just have to admit that maybe we made a connection decision, a hiring mistake, I should say, and let them go do something else. And then, of course, you know, and I don't like to give up on people, but some people just aren't capable of being engaged. I mean, maybe it's because they haven't grown up yet or whatever, but that doesn't mean that you need to let those people be the rotten apple.
Well, and to your point,
and they will be.
You betcha. We talk a lot about in our practice about how you onboard people. You know, what does the first day look like? And nothing can be more toxic than if you're trying to onboard a talented person that you spend a lot of time recruiting, to have them come into a workplace environment where their coworkers just don't care. You know, you get somebody all excited and ready to start their career, and somebody grabs and says, yeah, slow down, pal. Yeah. I got this all figured out. Don't you me look bad, you know.
That happens. And
absolutely it does. And so you've got to, again, you work with the people you can work with, you put them where they're. If you get somebody that's fairly toxic, you really do need to make sure that you give them a release as quickly and as dignified as possible.
You know, that's one of the things that's kind of a cool thing when your business starts growing and you start hiring employees, you grow your folks, you grow your organization a little bit, and now you actually have places you can put people that are a little more vertical, a little more specialized, and so it's I've seen this happen in organizations where somebody, you know, the company got big enough that this one person who didn't like to do two of the things that she was doing or he was doing, but they were good and liked to do one thing. The company got to the point where they could allow that person, as you said a minute ago, just do that one thing.
Sure. You know,
and they were happy little clams in that one job.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting. When you're smaller, you need a lot of people that can multitask and have multiple skills. You have a jack of all trades. Mm-hmm. But to your point, as you grow and you get bigger, then you keep building onto, you know, where their strengths are, and you get that specialization. You know, it's always interesting when we talk. I always like to give you some practical things mm-hmm. that your listeners can do as far as how do you create this culture of appreciation, or what we call, you know, a carrot culture. And you mentioned one as we were talking off air, you know, simple verbal praise, you know, taking the time to tell somebody when they stayed late or took care of a difficult client that they did a great job is very important, you know, those little tweaks. And be specific. Don't just say, hey, great job. But, hey, I saw what you did with the inventory, the way you reorganized it. We are much more efficient now. Boy, it's that kind of thinking that really helps us.
Well, and I've said this before. I have had bosses to come up to me and say things like that, and it's been 25 years since that happened, and I still remember the moment.
It's great, isn't it?
They stick with you. Hold on to that thought, Chester. Quick break, right back with Chester Elton. I'm Jim Blassingame. Here's James Brown to take us out. The Reverend Al Green, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Hope you'll check those out and use them to your advantage. Chester Elton is our guest. He and Adrian Gostick are the author of a number of books. Is The Invisible Employee the last one, Chester? Are you there? Do we lose Chester? I think we may have lost him. Anyway, folks, we're talking about keeping your people engaged. One of the things that, as we get Chester back on the show, one of the things that that I think that you've heard me speak about many times in the past is the idea of saying thank you. The idea of saying thank you to our customers. And you've heard me say this, and I've encouraged you to do it. I continue to run into cases where people take my money and just don't, I'm convinced that they've never been trained to say thank you. Now, here's one of the things that I want to encourage you to do today, small business owners, with your employees. I want you to say thank you to them. How about that? What better way to train them how to say thank you to your customers? And those are the people I'm concerned about. You know, most business owners actually say thank you to their customers. It's the employees that we sometimes have problems getting them to say thank you to the employees, to our customers. So what do we need to do what can we do to encourage our employees to say to be more likely to say thank you for the business to our customers? And I think one of the ways we can do that is to say thank you to them. I think we got Chester back on. Chester, you there?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
I don't either.
A fax machine.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what happened. Anyway, well, I was just telling the audience about this. My, you know, I've got this soapbox about saying thank you to customers that I'm on, and I'm out of control with that. I mean, I just can't stop. I won't stop talking about it, because I continue to run into examples where employees of companies refuse, or they just don't know how to say thank you when you do business with them. And so I've been thinking about that, and maybe we need to say thank you to our employees. And that's a way to train them, to get them used to, if they're used to hearing thank you, maybe they'll be used to saying thank you. What do you think about that?
Well, that's the old transitive theory, right? I mean, it's like if A equals B and B equals C, A equals C. And the point is, you're exactly right. If your employees really feel good about their jobs and about their bosses, they are more likely to treat your customers better. If they've got a boss that comes in and beats the crap out of them, what incentive do they have not to beat the crap out of your customers? So, no, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It really does work.
Well, some employers, though, I think some employers get the idea, well, they should be thanking me for the job and for the payroll. Well, yeah, okay, we all ought to be doing that. But what's wrong with if you've had a good day? What's wrong with, as they're leaving for the day, saying, hey, thanks for the good day today?
You bet. You know, I think that employers need to really understand and to create a culture not only of appreciation, but a culture of, hey, we're all in this together. You know, I'll help you, you help me. I love bosses that jump in and do things and take control. You know, where they say, listen, if you've got to maybe leave a little early to see your kid's soccer match, hey, I'm there for you. At the same time, you know, when I kind of need you to maybe stay an extra half an hour to make sure the inventory's done or this place locked up, you know, I'd appreciate if you'd do that for me as well. So not that you're keeping score, you understand, but it's that we care about each other enough to make each other's jobs good enough so that people that come into the store can feel that. I mean, you've walked into stores and you've felt the tension.
Mm-hmm.
You've walked in and thought, well, what's going on here? And you're not as likely to buy or give people your money if you're a little confused about what the dynamic is in the store.
You're sure not going to go back.
No, and that's the thing. But if you go in and people are smiling and seem like they're having a good time, they know their business, they're taking care of you, you are more likely not only to come back, but to spend more of your dollars there. So it does have that transitive property. There's no question about it.
Well, exactly. And if you'll think about it, the companies, think about where you spend your money, ladies and gentlemen. The places where you spend your money, probably, maybe without you thinking about it, you probably have found some kind of a connection in those organizations, haven't you, Chester?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the places where
they know your name, they remember what you like, whatever.
It's like Norm at Cheers, right? Norm comes in and Norm.
They
know you. They know you, and it makes all the difference. You know, one of the other great practices that I've seen, Jim, and I know that you do this, but is the practice of a simple handwritten thank you note from, you know, employer to employee, mm-hmm. even employees to each other, just to take the time. And I kind of take Sunday afternoons. You know, we kind of take Sunday as time for the family. And I have a daughter in college, and I've got a son who's serving a mission out in California. And I take the time to just write him a note. And I got the sweetest letter from my daughter the other day, a little note, and she sent it to me. She said, you know, she said, dear daddy, and I love that she calls me daddy even though she's 21, you know, and she said, you know, a lot of times I don't think I should drop you a note because we talk on the phone so much, you know, cell phones, we talk a lot. She says, but I'm always excited to get something in the mail from you, and it occurred to me that I should write you a letter too. And I want to just read you the last line because you'll love it. She said, just to tell you how much I love you, you're such an example to me of how to live a happy life. Love you, Cassie.
Wow.
I mean, I put that in my journal. That's a treasure.
You want to stick that in your Bible or something where you don't lose that.
You better believe it. Well, you see,
Hey, Chester.
You bet.
You know what I call that?
What?
That's a payday.
For
parents, that's a payday.
Well, you can do that for your employees too.
Give us the website, Chester. Give us the website.
It's www.carrots.com.
And the new book is called The Invisible Employee, right?
The new book is actually The Care Principle, but you're right. We got lots of them. Buy them all.
Yep. I can't keep up. Thanks, Chester. See you next time.
You
quick
bet,
break.
Care.
Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.